Turn with me to Acts chapter 14 this morning. When you talk to people about the times that we live in, what do you tell them? What do you tell them? And this was probably more of a convicting question for me, due to talking to people as they come into the shop. And I had to think about, what do I do with the things, with the opinions, with the good or bad attitudes that people portray about the times that we live in? What do I do with that? Do I agree with them? Do I go on with the theory that they're sharing? What do I do with it? Do I go along with their viewpoint, whether good or bad? In Acts chapter 14, come across this passage this last week, and I had to think about, you know, Acts chapter 14 is really probably not that much different in Acts 14 or today. You see things like there was rioting here. There was people that were worked up. There were people that were living in fear. There were people that got riled up by other people getting riled up. And then there were some people that knew the truth. And it was the truth of God's word. It wasn't whatever's going on, but it was the truth of God's word. And they knew that, and they lived their lives upon that. And so my question to you this morning is, what do you do when people talk to you about the times we are in? And I like for us, the one word that sort of jumped out to me was in verse 27. Paul here, and I'll just read verse 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Now, think with me, as Jews, as Gentiles, as the Jews were somewhat rejecting who Jesus was, and here now the Gentiles are able to see a little bit of this salvation because of the Jews, some of the Jews' rejection. And Paul is saying here that he is thankful that the door was opened, that there was opportunity for the Gentiles to believe. What are you doing with the opportunities that God gives you to speak to Gentiles or to speak to the Jews? Maybe it's a Christian that comes into your shop. I think probably some as Christians get caught up into a lot of this stuff in the times that we live in, more than probably the non-Christian. And that's my concern this morning. What are we doing? What are you doing when somebody talks to you about the times that we're living in, and you just sort of be quiet and you just sort of keep on going and doing your thing and let them view the things that they view and not do anything about it? That is my concern, because Paul here, he used that opportunity to preach to the Gentiles, and marvelous things happened. And that's my encouragement this morning as we think about God's Word. And the title of the message is Speak God's Word. And again, I believe we need to be very respectful of each other's opinions, are each other's convictions. But I guess what I want to look at this morning is the whole idea of when God gives you an opportunity, and you need to follow the Holy Spirit. When God gives you an opportunity to share Jesus with someone, what are you doing with it? And it may not be, I'm not saying you need to give a 10-minute preaching session of how they are living and how they are wrong and how they are on and on and on. But I believe simply to remind them that, you know what? God is in control of this. I'm not living in fear. And that I am living in faith because of Jesus in my life. You know, there's some that would have the attitude that, you know, other people are just weird, they're gullible, they do exactly what their opinions, what they say their opinions are, and we're all open to have our own opinion, our own convictions. But as we think of opportunity to share the love of Jesus with someone, I want to just enforce that this morning as we look at speaking God's word and how that God's word will do its work. We may say just a few words, and that may be seeds planted. That was an opportunity that you have, that I have, that God has given us, and we need to be responsible in that. I'll share with you a story, and then we'll go back into Acts chapter 14 and look there. But as we think about our various opinions and how that sometimes I believe these things get in ways into the church that we need to sometimes test and see, is this really what God's word is telling us? And this story is of a young woman that was converted. It goes like this. One night in a church service, a young woman felt the tug of God at her heart. She responded to God's call and accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. The young woman had a very tough, rough past involving alcohol, drugs, and prostitution. But the change in her life was very evident. As time went on, she became a faithful member of the church. She eventually became involved in ministry, teaching young children. It was not very long until the faithful young woman caught the eye and heart of the pastor's son. The relationship grew and they began to make wedding plans. This is when problems began. You see, about half of the church did not think that the woman with a past such as hers was suitable for a pastor's son. The church began to argue and fight about the matter, so they decided to have a meeting. As the people made their arguments and tensions increased, the meeting was getting completely out of hand. The young woman became very upset about all the things being brought up about her past. As she began to cry, the pastor's son stood to speak, and he could not bear the pain of it causing his wife to be. He began to speak. My fiancé's past is not what is on trial here. What you are questioning is the ability, now get this, the ability of the blood of Jesus to wash away sin. Today, you have put the blood of Jesus out on trial. So does it wash away sin or not? The whole church began to weep as they realized that they had slandered the blood of Jesus Christ. Too often, even as Christians, we bring up the past and use it as a weapon against our brothers and sisters. Forgiveness is a very foundational part of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If the blood of Jesus does not completely cleanse the other person completely, that it cannot cleanse us completely. If that is the case, we are all in a lot of trouble. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, that young man there brought that church to a meeting place, to a point where they understood what God's word was actually saying. Let's go to Acts chapter 14. I believe God's heart is that the people come to know who Jesus is as their Lord and Savior, washing away our sins by the blood, washing our sins clean by the blood of Jesus. And here we see Paul and Barnabas. We could go back into previous chapters, but we won't for the sake of time. But I love the book of Acts and how that it is so relevant for the day. And not all of Scripture is, but I just, as I looked at this passage, I was just reminded, you know, they had many things back there, the same things we have today. And so I was blessed as I looked at that, and we'll come up with about 5 points that we want to look at as we think of speaking God's word. Acts chapter 14, verse 1, "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the Lord of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw that Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lyconian, The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priests of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifices with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, and that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught them, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, on whom they believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia, and thence sailed to
Antioch, and from thence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. I have a few verses here that I have marked as I look at this passage. You know, there's times where God brings things into our lives. And we see here in verse 3, 4, and 5 that Paul and Barnabas, they faced quite the crowd here. And we heard about some of those mountains this morning. And I believe Paul's intention here, again, was to bring these people to God. And as we think about speaking God's word, I believe that is always, always what we need to do. Bring them back to the truth of God's word. Not what we heard on Facebook, not what we heard on the news, not what we heard in 100 other one places, but what we read in God's word. Bring them back to God's word. What are we doing when people ask us of the hope that lieth in you? Speak God's word. And I'd like to look at the word speak this morning. And I don't know, I have a problem remembering things. And so when I put letters to things, and I sometimes can remember them better. And so as we think of speaking God's word, speak purpose, exhort always with kindness, S-P-E-A-K. Speak purpose, exhort always kindness. Those are the five things we want to look at here as we think of speaking God's word and how Paul and Barnabas did this here in the book of Acts. First of all, we see here, the first one is speak, S. In Acts 14, verse 1, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue. Both Paul and Barnabas, both went to the synagogue. They went together, and they, what did they do? They spoke the word of God. I believe they preached the word of God to the great multitude. Both Jews and also Greeks believed. And so we see here that there was a response to the scriptures, to what Paul and Barnabas spoke here. And I don't know what all they spoke about, but I believe they spoke the word of God. They spoke the word of God. The words that you speak, the words that I speak, is it reminding people about who God is? Or is it just rallying them up some more to just get all aggravated and fearful? Are we speaking words of life or words of death? You know, as we agree with these people and as we just go along with their theory and on and on and on, it's a bunch of empty words if it's not bringing us back to who God is and what God wants of us. And the thought of this got me to thinking here. The other week, we as local pastors got together with some of the other churches. And that was one of the concerns, is that we get, the brother used the word mileage, that we get some mileage out of all this mess. The things that we are facing, the stuff that the way our times and lives, where we're at today, are we getting some mileage out of this? Are we using this time to bring people back to God? And I believe Paul and Barnabas, we're doing that here to the people in Acts chapter 14. Proverbs 25:11, some verses here on how our words, what are our words doing? A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. See, that's a part of our words, how it's said, what tone it's said in, and what for words we use is all going to make an impact on the people's lives that we face from day to day. Listen to this, Proverbs 16:21. The wise-hearted will be named men of good sense, and by pleasing words, learning is increased. I think that was the basic Bible translation, but I like that. The wise-hearted will be named men of good sense. Here recently, I forget now, did I have my mask on at the shop or not? And I either had it on my face or on, sometimes I forget to bring it down here when people come in. And I think I had it on that day because I walked out and this man said, you know, if you're diagnosed with CS, you don't have to wear that. I was like, what's CS? He said, common sense. And I said, what's that? And he just sort of chuckled. And I kept on doing my thing. And I say that lightfully, but I believe that God's word, and I'm not, and like I said, I'm not judging whether we wear it or not. I do different times at the shop as more of a respect issue. But it's, I believe, again, we're saying something to the world around us about our attitude, about how we live life. And just those kinds of attitudes. And I think about those attitudes now and I say, what could have I said to that man that would have made him think about God? He was actually an Amishman. And that's why it convicts me. What am I doing? That was an opportunity. What could have I said? Whether it's a mask issue or not, I believe there's times like that that we, at least for me, I just sort of do it and I don't really think about it, that there was an opportunity. The words we speak brought, the words Paul and Barnabas spoke brought a lot of Jews and Greeks to believe. See, brothers and sisters, this morning, I believe if we bring people to God's word, there will be many people that believe. Recently, I told my wife that I believe if there would be as many people, and I guess you're seeing a lot of opinions this morning here about me, but if, and I just want to be open with you, if everybody that believes everything on Facebook, if we could put scripture there and they would believe that, I think we'd have lots of Christians. See, again, we don't always go to the right source to get our instructions. We need to come back to the Word of God. Because obviously it's showing how we speak and what we speak that is going to make a difference in our lives. As we are engrossed in God's word, I believe those are the words that will then be coming out of our lives. Secondly, P is purpose. Verse 3 we see here, Paul spake boldly. He had purpose. And he knew what his purpose was. His purpose was to bring these Jews and Greeks, Gentiles, to Jesus Christ. He spake boldly. You know, and that's one thing that I believe as we look at the words we speak. He spake boldly here. We don't need to be ashamed to speak the words of life. I believe too many times we're fearful because of what happened to Paul here. And it may not be literal stones, but it may. And we live in fear because of that. We don't speak boldly because part of the reason is as we don't really know the purpose. In verse 15 also, I believe we see here, Paul is saying, brothers, listen, you don't need to sacrifice these sacrifices unto us. We're just like normal people like you. We're no gods of some sort. We're just normal people. Ephesians 10:10-11. If you're wondering what your purpose is this morning, listen to this. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, that ye might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So we see that even there in Ephesus, that the purpose of God's purpose was that they would become Christians. The same purpose is for us today. The people that we come in contact with, we want to bring them to the foot of the cross. We want to remind them of who God is. I believe these men understood that real purpose was more than just their own agenda. It was that Christ be preached and his will fulfilled through the work of the Holy Spirit. And I believe Barnabas and Paul understood this purpose and were living that purpose out. As you look at verse 13 there, I had to actually 12 and 13 made a little bit more sense as I did a little bit of research on why these people were so concerned. They seen the what had happened, how the young man was healed. And they were being fearful because of this miracle that was done. And they were thinking that Paul and Barnabas were some gods coming back to do some great thing against them. And again, we see this because of when people live in sin, when they're in the presence, when they're brought back to God, they end up living in fear. They end up recognizing that, hey, we need to do something here. And I believe that's what the people were doing here. They wanted them to sacrifice, give sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas. And Paul and Barnabas were saying, no, 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 no. In verse 15, he's saying, we are men of like passions like you. Don't do these vanities. And as I did some research on that, these people were going back to a fable, a belief, a god, this god Jupiter. They were going back and they had at some point in time in their history, they had made this Jupiter a god. And at what happened was there was then some divine person from this god Jupiter that came down to them and had taken over their palace, their city, and made the king a wolf. Now, it sounds pretty far-fetched, but this is some of the stuff that was in Acts. And they were, as they were taught that, all of a sudden, they got to thinking about, oh, is this Jupiter coming back? We need to do something for this. We need to sacrifice. We need to please these gods. And so they were bringing oxen and garlands, and Paul's saying, no, 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 no. This is not who we are. We are men of like passions. Again, they were bringing them back to who God was. They were wanting them to realize that we're no special people. We are men just like you and I. Talking about purpose. I believe Paul's purpose here again was not about himself, but all about pointing to Christ. He wanted these people to realize that it wasn't about himself, what he had done. This miracle he had done was not about himself, was not by his own power, but was about, again, God working through somebody. The Holy Spirit in our lives. And as we think about purpose, and as we think about in our day and age, lots of opinions, lots of conviction. Not all bad. But I like for us to think about this, and this is not all original with me, but as I looked at how we process things, I believe we see that reconciliation and resolution are two different things. When you think of reconciliation, what do you think about? When you think of resolution, what do you think about? See, I believe oftentimes when we think of resolution, how can I fix this problem? How can I get everybody to think the same? If we can do that, then we'll be okay. See, our focus, where our focus is? Our focus is on the problem, not on the person. Reconciliation is then more based upon relationship. It's based upon reconciliation is how can this be redemptive? How can I be in good relation with this person? I'm not so concerned about the resolution. Yeah, the problem may not continue, may not all go away, but I'm more concerned about reconciliation because that person has a heart and a soul as well as I do. And I believe once we think about reconciliation more than the resolution, I believe we're getting somewhere because our focus then is on relationship with that person and understanding, you know, even though we don't see eye to eye, I can be congenial, I can talk to that person, and it may, like I said, the problem may not go away. But sometimes the problem is going to be insignificant anymore because we're focused on reconciliation. And I believe that was Paul's purpose here. As he spoke to these men and said, men, we're like passions like you. You know, the problems didn't all go away. Paul was then stoned. But again, those people were brought back to Christ because of Paul being more concerned about reconciliation to Christ, not to himself alone necessarily, but to Christ. Someone has said reconciliation is burying the hatchet. We cannot continue the conversation. We can continue. When we bury the hatchet, when we bury that, those words, those stones that we would like to fling at people, once we bury those, we can then continue the conversation in the spirit of harmony. Our differences, not a big deal in the sense of, as we look at Scripture, there's wrongs, there's rights. I'm not saying that we just cover everything up. But I believe as we look at reconciliation, again, it's we're burying those hatchets, those words, those wrong words that we would like to throw at our brother or sister. Thirdly, exhort. Verse 22, we see here Paul. He is confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, that ye must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Again here we see him bringing them back to the reminder that, you know, life's not always going to be easy, where there's going to be persecution. There's going to be problems. But he's exhorting here. He's telling them, stand fast in the faith. Continue in the faith. I believe as we understand what it means to exhort, that of what Paul and Barnabas did means to strengthen, to support further, to build up, to reestablish. To reestablish. The word exhort is to call near, invite, invoke, beseech, call for, comfort, exhort, entreat, pray. And I believe that's Paul's heart cry for these people, was that they continue in the faith. You know, there's many times in, as we look at our lives, and again, I believe so many times we miss the opportunity to exhort each other because we're not always listening intently on what our brother is telling us. We need to exhort. We need to listen. We need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God as He teaches us many things through His Word. Again, Paul preaching boldly in verse 3. And as he healed that man, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And as he gathered the church together, I believe they rehearsed this very incident. But that, and as they rehearsed that, they were blessed. Maybe like a testimony time. What God had done for these people. You know, and as you give testimony, that's a way of exhorting those around you. We don't have time this morning, but my thought was that we just spend a minute or two. And maybe you can do this after church, before you start your gibberish. Is to exhort the person beside you in some way or another. Bless them. Pray with them. Entreat them. I believe there's many different ways that we can exhort by the words that we share. Fourth letter is A, always. That we are always, always sensitive to God's leading. And when I say always, I'm thinking of the verse where it talks there about pray without ceasing. In other words, always remember to speak God's word in the back of your mind. Always remember that, you know what? What I need to be speaking here is God's word. Not a bunch of opinions and just gibberish, but speaking God's word. Exhort always with kindness. Exhort always with kindness. So, in whatever we do, always speak God's word. God's kindness to the lives around you. Always show kindness, even to those people that don't see eye to eye. Paul always had God's purpose in mind as he ministered to the people here in Laconia. Fifthly, let me wrap this up, is kindness. Verses 8 through 10 here. We see kindness to this young man that was healed. This man couldn't walk from birth. And I wonder what is all meant there. In verse 9, where the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Now, as I understand this, I believe that's speaking of Paul here. Paul was seeing this man sitting, laying, I don't know what he, on what posture he was. He's seen him there, and he was saying, there's something different about that man. He has faith. And notice what he says then. He has the faith to be healed. Now, what would have happened if that man, if Paul, wouldn't have seen that opportunity and would have passed by, never seeing that man's faith? He would have missed a time to bring that person back to God. A time where others were blessed because of his kindness, of his act of kindness, of bringing healing to this man. And I just love how it says there. He said with a loud voice, "Stand up on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. This man was, again. I believe he was different. I don't know how high he jumped, but I bet you he jumped. Kindness. Verse 15, we see kindness being showed again. When someone is truly filled with God's kindness, we do it out of love and kindness that has been showed to us by Jesus himself. I believe true kindness is being empty of self, to be humble, not condemning, not belittling, not labeling, not condescending, or being sarcastic. Kindness, the words that you and I speak, are they kind? And I trust this morning that I spoke words of kindness. I didn't want to belittle anybody here this morning. But my prayer is that we bring the people that we come in contact with back to God. That we speak God's word. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, which is kind. For what? To the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Speak God's word this week. Speak purpose. Exhort always with kindness. Look for the opportunity to share the love of Jesus with someone. And maybe it's just a small reminder to trust God for their lives. But my prayer this morning is that you're sensitive to the Spirit of God. Sometimes we don't know what to say. Sometimes we're at loss in knowing what to do. And it's okay just to pause in silence and to say, God, what do you want me to do here? And that we just listen to the Spirit of God in our lives. Look for the opportunity to share and to speak God's word to someone this week. Let us kneel and pray.
Holy Father,